This is a podcast from Minute Media.
This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Verderam and Mark Carman. Welcome in. Stacking the Box is with you as per always at, a beautiful day, 11 o'clock Central, 12 Eastern, and Matt Nagy apparently has been told he's going to be fired on Thanksgiving. Matt Verderam, how are you, buddy?
Better than Matt Nagy. A lot, although maybe at this point it's just a sweet relief of knowing that he doesn't have to deal with this crap anymore. So maybe that's part of it, but I'll still say better than Matt Nagy.
Yeah, so, and happy holidays to you, Ed, and appreciate everybody joining here on our YouTube screen. Good to be with you. Look, there is a report out from Patch.com, which is, that is the suburban wing of the Chicago Tribune. This is not who you normally would think would be breaking the story that Matt Nagy is going to be fired on Thanksgiving. Apparently, he's been told. And this is according to Mark Conkle from the Patch staff. Now, Mark Conkle has won many awards for being a writer, and I have been talking to the people that I trust the most around this, Verderam. And, I mean, this guy won a Pulitzer, and he's reporting it, so I think it somehow fell in his lap with one of his contacts. This is not the guy that's going to break it, but he is somebody that should be trusted. And basically everybody that I know that covers the Bears, they believe this report, which this report, again, is just completely bizarre. Hey, Matt, you're going to coach on Thanksgiving against the Lions, and then you're going to get fired. That is so back-ass words, but just vintage Chicago Bears. Like, part of what I'm hearing from different people is that this is something the Bears would do, and apparently they're doing it. It's amazing.
I wonder if Jordan Schultz, who does a nice job, followed Jordan, know each other on Twitter for a little bit. He tweeted out yesterday a report that he said that a lot of the players are to the point they want him fired. Now, I'm sure it's been the case for a while, but maybe just kind of getting to light. I wonder if that's a situation where the Bears brass was like, all right, we're done with this. Like, we have to just, I don't want to say get out in front of it, because I feel like they're not out in front of it at all, but we kind of have to do something. And it's the only thing we have left to do. This has been, you and I have talked about this for years, Carl. I mean, this has been just a train wreck for a couple of years now. I get he hasn't had a great quarterback. I understand that. But they don't do anything well. Like, they really don't. They're so mismanaged. The way they play is so bungled all the time. I think it's the right decision, but it's a very weird way to come to the decision.
Right. Well, look, let's give a full-scale view here. First of all, they don't do this. This is not what the Bears do. They didn't do it with John Fox. They didn't do it with Mark Trestman.
They've never done it.
They don't do it. I mean, I'm just outlining the last two who very well could have been fired in the middle of the season, and it would have made a whole lot of sense, particularly in Fox's last year. He shouldn't have been there because you had Mitchell Trubisky as a rookie quarterback. You weren't setting him up for success. Right. There's a million things the Bears do wrong. But so they don't do this. And then the other side of it is Ryan Pace has been here 7 years. Seven. All right. They are going to finish under 500 again, which will be six of his 7 years that the Bears were not above 500.
Right.
So
never won a playoff game.
Never won a playoff game. Been in one playoff game. Double two. Doink, Cody Parkey against, whatever. The Eagles had a great run that team, but the Bears, that was at home, all of it. This needs to be the start of a full-scale house cleaning, and you have the same bumbling individuals who will be making the hires, who hired a first-time GM in Ryan Pace, who hired a first-time head coach in Matt Nagy in his second swing after Fox. It's not like this is a lock that, or even close to a lock, or even likely, as how I should put it, that the Bears are going to get this right going forward.
No, oh God, no, it's definitely not a lock, but if they don't fire Pace and they let him pick another head coach, everyone involved should be ashamed. I mean, I don't know. I know, look, it's an open secret in the NFL. Carmen, you've talked about it. Like, the McCaskies love Pace. that's all fine and well. Like I did last week, I was on a podcast with Kevin Powell over at WGN, and we were talking. And I don't think he'd mind me saying this. I essentially said to him, like, they've got to fire them. Like, they just have to fire them. This was after we did the pod. And, you know, he just kind of reiterated what we've always talked about, which is like, yeah, but, like, you never know with them. Like, you just never know what they're going to do. And I – look, I am not a Bears fan. I am not emotionally invested in this. But if they don't fire the two of them, I mean, Bears fans should revolt. I don't know how you could possibly look at this and say, yeah, Pace, another chance. I still understand. There's no rationale for it at all.
Yeah, and as far as Bears fans revolting, the fire Nagy chants at Soldier Field were loud and clear on Sunday. They broke out at the Bulls game last night, the Bulls getting smoked by the Pacers by 30-plus, and fire Nagy happens in the fourth quarter. And then his son is playing in a playoff game for Lake Forest High School, which is where the Bears have practice. Hallis Hall and where they practice. And they play in Cary Grove, and it's the fourth quarter, and there's fire Nagy chants going on there. The school principal of Cary Grove is apologizing and says it's been addressed. You know, this is this dude's dad. You know, I assume he cares about his father. I appreciate the passion of fans that you care so much. Do something better. Don't taunt a kid and his dad getting fired. That's just pathetic. But at least the high school, I guess, stepped in. The whole fans, I paid for my ticket, yada, yada. It gets exhausting to me. Like booing does nothing. Nothing. If you want to go at a guy who's not giving effort, I get it. And firing Nagy chant is not really directed. Hey, it's not at you, Matt, so much as it's at Virginia and the Bears management and Ryan Pace and everything. And I get it. And at an NFL game, it's totally fine. But at a high school game, come on, man, that ain't right.
I agree. I don't think you do that. But I just think it speaks to the larger issue here, which is just they just have the appearance of an organization that doesn't really give a shit. Like, they have the appearance of an organization that's just like, yeah, look at that. He's terrible again. I don't know. I mean, I sat there and I watched that Ravens-Bears game. And I got to tell you, that game was the height of incompetence. I mean, just the height of it. You're playing a Ravens team that, quite honestly, isn't even that good with Lamar Jackson on it. He's not playing. They're playing a guy in Tyler Huntley who cannot play. Cannot play at – I mean, just is at best a bad backup quarterback. You somehow get a gift of all gifts. They blitz you cover zero like imbeciles on a 4th-and-11 that Dalton throws up and they get a touchdown on. And you can't win that game? The Ravens won't move down the field if they were the 99 Rams. You're like, how is it even possible? Blown coverage, pass interference. You're like, this is just a horribly coached team. And then I tweeted through this whole thing, but they had a sequence in the earlier portion of the fourth quarter where it's like 2nd-and-1. No, excuse me, 3rd-and-1. 3rd-and-1, they run a go ball that has no chance of being completed. Now it's 4th-and-1 at midfield. They run the punting unit on. Nope. Timeout. We're not sure about that anymore. Then they throw the sideline, and Nagy's like screaming at some guy who's running like communications because his headset doesn't work. So then they call the timeout. They come out. They decide, nope, we're going for it. We're going to run a play. The Ravens put like 10 guys at the line of scrimmage, and the Bears is like, we're running Wildcat and lose a yard. And it's just like,
don't forget about the holding penalty. Even if it worked, they weren't going to get it. Yeah. That was
– oh, my God. Like, how – 4 years into being the head coach, that's it? Like, that's what you've got. It was just – it was one of the worst coach sequences I've ever seen.
They came out to start the second half and had an illegal motion penalty to start the second half. I mean, look, he's been out over his skis and honestly, like – For me, doing Bears post game shows and hearing Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich scream about John Fox for 3 years, and then they hire Nagy, who, you tell me, Verderam, the Chiefs had the Titans down 21-3. He's the OC. They lose 22-21, and immediately it was like, you're hiring this guy. You can't close out a 21-3 lead at halftime in a playoff game. I mean, how much was that a rightful red flag at the time that he does not know how to coach offense?
Look, I don't even know that any of it matters anymore at this point. Like, they just have to fire him and move on. And I was on the Arrowhead Addict podcast right before this, and I said this about 2 minutes before the news broke. If they lose to Detroit, they should just leave him on the tarmac. I'm serious. But you know what? Walk your ass home. I don't care. We're done with this. Here's a leg of turkey. Walk. I mean, because I got to tell you, I don't think they're going to lose to Detroit because I don't think anyone could lose to Tim Boyle. But if there is a team that could manage to lose that game, it's 100% the Chicago Bears.
Like, look, the Lions have had a bunch of near wins. They've got a tie. They nearly beat the Browns.
Tim Boyle. Well, they actually did have a near win against Cleveland, I guess.
They were barely
through the season.
They very well could lose Thanksgiving, but that'd be an amazing thing. Like, let's just say, for instance, and Chris Tabor, who's the Bears special teams coach, is up first at Hallis Hall today, and he has to address the media. This is how back-asswards the Bears are. Coach Nagy is our head coach. I want to work for this guy now. Love him to death. Said Nagy will lead the Bears to a win in Detroit. I believe that in my heart. And then quote, I don't know anything about that report. I mean, it's just like you put the special teams coordinator in this position. I mean, you really have to – you got to work to be this bad.
I got to tell you, even from a reporter PR standpoint, the Bears are interesting. They do things – you're like, what? Okay. Like, we went and covered them the year they went to the playoffs. So I was at the Bears-Rams Sunday night game, and I was at the double doink game. I was up in the box. The next year, they're like, yeah, listen, we're closing rank. And they shut out like 60 outlets they had previously, and I'm ballparking with it, not a number, but it was a sizable amount. Like, we're closing rank because, at least according to them, like, there were some outlets that felt like they couldn't get enough proper coverage because they were competing with other outlets. It was like, you're the Bears. You need all the good publicity you can get, right? Like, all of it. And yet they, like, cut off their nose despite their face because, I guess, you know, at least according to them, like, a handful of the outlets were upset about the fact that there were too many people in the locker room. They were trying to get access or whatever. And you're like, hey, guys, you have Mitchell Trubisky. Like, things are not going particularly well. Maybe if you give people access, they'll be a little bit nope. Just cut off a whole bunch of people. Which, listen, I mean, I'm not losing any sleep over not going to Soldier Field. But it's been like, I've never dealt with a franchise. It's just been more like hostile about it. Like, it's just very strange, very strange. I, for example, to show how different the sport can be, and there are certainly teams like the Bears that are very closed off. Like, I remember I wanted to do an interview with Brandon Bean. I wanted to talk to him one-on-one, the Bills general manager. So I called up the PR guy over in Buffalo, who's one of the best, Derek Boyko. I said, hey, Derek, can we make it happen? I think it was later that day I got a phone call from Buffalo, and it was just Brandon Bean. He was like, hey, what's going on? Like, it was immediately set up. Like, no problem, no issue at all. Like, with the Bears, you're like, hey, listen, can we cover a regular season game? No, we're letting six outlets in. Like, okay, guys, that's great. Like, that's great. You have a press box that spans 80 yards, but no, it's not a front.
Yeah, I have. That's amazing, the Buffalo story, because I have never found NFL media to be overly friendly. The Chiefs.
Some of them are like that. The Minnesota's like that too.
That's interesting.
Minnesota's
okay.
Really good. The Niners are really good. I mean, I could go on. There are some really, really helpful teams, but there are some teams. It's just they treat it like it's like federal security.
Yeah. Like, right.
You're a football team. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, that's also one of Nagy's weaknesses. Like, his press conferences, he's so – I don't know if it comes from the organization, and it very well might, but he's so unsure of himself of what he can say around injuries and literally anything else.
They're very close off.
He just gets himself in these circular, talking, nonsense babbles that are painful. And I'm like, is this how you communicate to your players? Because the reports, and I don't, I have a hard time believing that the whole locker room is anti-Nagy now, or most of the locker room, or half the locker room, whatever it is, because he's a player's guy. But at the end of the day, maybe they just don't think he's good at his job, which of course would be a very fair take. And good luck to Matt in whatever his next endeavors will be. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about your Chiefs, Ram. Nice win over Dallas, but they don't look like the Patrick Mahomes scoring 50 on you Chiefs, but all of a sudden they've got one of the best defenses in all of football. So what do you make of what's going on with Kansas City?
In a weird year, the defense going from the worst thing we've ever seen to like the best defense in football over the last month, that might take the cake for the strangest thing that's happened this year. I mean, just bizarre to the hilt. But I got to tell you, if you said to me, would you rather win a game with the Chiefs 40-37 or the way they won that game, the way they won that game? Because I know the offense can score points. I know they can execute. They have been hot and cold this year, but I know they can do that. If their defense continues to play like this, nobody's beating them. I honestly believe that. Certainly not in the AFC now. The NFC, a lot of good teams in the NFC, right? Like, I think it depends on matchup and health and all those things. Part of the reason I say that, too, is the AFC right now is a disaster. I mean, it's just, who's good? Tennessee just lost to the Texans, and as Jeff Schwartz pointed out over on Arrowhead Addicts podcast, like, they're 18th in DVOA. Like, they're getting outgained on a weekly basis. So they did outgain Houston by a lot, but they turned the ball over five times. Like, Tannehill has 13 touchdowns and 12 picks this year. So they've got all kinds of issues, and obviously with the injuries. Buffalo, which we'll get to here in a second, boat race to death by Indianapolis at home. Like, Buffalo, since beating the Chiefs, is under 500 and looks awful. The Pats are good. I do not trust Mac Jones to win a playoff game over Patrick Mahomes. Baltimore, I don't even think is good. They're 7-3, give them all the credit in the world. I don't think they're any good. I think they're an average football team. I really do. I think Lamar's been amazing. It's the only reason they're even that. But if they play defense where they're giving up, you know, 15, 16 points a game, I don't think it's a homerish take to just be like, well, who the hell is going to beat him in the AFC?
I'm smiling as you're doing it because we've ridden the roller coaster for their.
We have come through some major peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no two ways around that.
I mean, and last week I called it out to you, like, you need to apologize. Like, oh, I apologize for it. But now we're like top of the mountain. Ain't nobody beating the Chiefs, which, by the way, I think I've been pretty consistent that I've stayed there all season long.
You have been far more consistent on this.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
I was on board with you until that Tennessee game, in which I just said, like, oh my God, like, they can't do anything right. But they have righted themselves. Like, I don't think anybody thought defensively this was coming. I mean, this has been, they could not have been worse. Like, literally historically bad the first month and a half of the season. And now, like a cousin of the 85 Bears, as they're just constantly getting pressure. Nobody can throw the ball. Their run defense is amazing. Like, I don't know how. I do know how. We won't get into everything. I mean, they've changed up a million guys personnel-wise. They've changed their scheme. The Cowboys are the best offense in football, and I get it. Like, no Tyron Smith, no Mark Cooper, fine. That's fair enough. They destroyed Dallas in that game. I mean, Dallas could have had Amari Cooper. It would not have mattered. I firmly believe that. They couldn't get open. They had no time to throw the ball. Tyron Smith wouldn't have been blocking Chris Jones anyway. Jones was in the – I mean, they had five sacks, two picks. It was insane. It was insane how all over Dallas they were the entire game. And a team that – Dallas puts up 30 like it's nothing. And they couldn't get a yard. I mean, Dak didn't throw for 100 yards that game until the final minute of the third quarter.
So it's this is what the NFL has wanted for a long time, right? The ultimate in parity. Anybody can win any week, and anybody can win the Super Bowl. And we have it this year. I mean, last week, the Buffalo Bills were the Vegas favorite to win the Super Bowl. And if you polled NFL fans right now, if they think that, and the Bills are number three right now, by the way, but if you polled NFL fans, they would say that most likely, do you think the Bills will win it or miss the playoffs? I'd bet it almost would be 50-50 them on missing the play. Well, I don't know about missing the playoffs, but nobody would fly the flag right now that Buffalo's winning the Super Bowl. So it feels as wide open as possible. I don't know what to, Dallas to me, that whole run up the flag was a little too quick for me. And New England is almost kind of the same right now, but the Patriots, man, five in a row, Belichick with the, I mean, not that that guy's ever lacking any motivation, but he's at the top of the motivation chain, I would think, here after the Brady situation. And there looks like they struck gold with Mac Jones, for them at least. It all seems possible right now, right? I mean, who's the best team out there? There's no definitive answer.
Do you believe that the AFC right now, as we sit here going into Thanksgiving, do you believe the AFC is wide open?
I do. I absolutely do. I mean, I'm again, rewinding back, I'm betting on Kansas City because I'm going to bet on this quarterback, and I'm going to get even more excited as just underlying their defense has come around. But do I feel like the Chiefs could lose? Of course I do. Of course they could dud it up. And the Buffalo thing, like this last week, like I suppose I get it. You show up and you have a dud against Jacksonville or whatever. But to get smoked at home by the Colts, you know, that's not a game that you would come into lacking motivation, and to play that poorly, I don't know what to make of Buffalo after that game. I really don't.
It's interesting, by the way, as Lucas just dropped into the chat here, the Chiefs just signed their long snapper, James Winchester, 2-year extension. He is now the highest paid at his position in the NFL. He should be. He's done a heck of a job. Listen.
I love when our fans are breaking news on Stack in the Box. Thank you, Lucas. Way to be on top of Winchester right here. You're with Schefter. You're with us. Lucas S. breaking on Stack in the Box. Don't ever miss the show again. We need you.
That's right. Listen, I will say, I think the AFC is wide open right now, but if Kansas City can climb it out of this hole, put itself into, and it gets to the one seed, it's not wide open anymore. Like I will go that far. I will go as far to say, if they get to a one seed, which I think they can, there ain't nobody going in there beating them in the AFC playoffs. Nobody, because if they get to a one seed, it means they're playing really, really well. I think it probably means they went out. And if they're playing on that level, as long as they're healthy, I mean, obviously, you know, the caveat being some guy gets hurt like week 18 or something, it's massive. But who would go in there and beat them? Like, you're gonna tell me Buffalo's gonna go in there and do it again? I don't think that's happening. Mac Jones is going in there beating them. Like, I gotta tell you, I'd have more fear of them than anybody because of Belichick. But like, Mac Jones, I mean, Tennessee's not going in there beating them in a playoff game. That's not happening. I'm
you
sorry.
You sure? You sure?
Yeah. Titans.
Okay.
No,
go ahead.
I like the Titans, and I think defensively they're actually better than people give them credit for. But when you get to the playoffs, Carm, you know this. You know this as well. It's not fair either. Like, when you get to the playoffs, it becomes about who can make the big play. And it doesn't – I'm not talking 50-yard passes. I mean, like, who can convert 3rd-and-11? Who can fit a ball in a spot that they have no business fitting the ball in? Who's the team that can just – you know what? It's 3rd-and-7 on defense, and you've got to have it. And who makes that – like, that early in the year, the Chiefs were not that team, especially defensively. But right now, like, if they got there, I'm not saying they couldn't lose. Like, of course, like, any team could lose. I mean, they could lose. But I think they would be the prohibitive favorite. Like, at that point, I don't think it'd be wide open anymore. I think it would be, yeah, you got to go in there and beat them off a week of rest. And they want, at that point, you know, might want 10 in a row. I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But if they were to do that, yeah, I would look at them and go, yeah, I don't think they're to be beat. I don't think anybody in the AFC is going in there winning that game.
Look, if they get to the one seed in the AFC, they'll be the favorite in Vegas. The money will be heavy on them and all that. You will have a cavalcade of people agreeing with you. Let's just make a prediction right now. Bills or Patriots? Who wins the AFC East?
The Bills, but it's a fair question. They play each other twice. They still have to play twice. So that's still obviously going to swing the division. The Bills have an interesting schedule, though, man. Like, they play Thursday night. We're going to get into that here when we are joined by the great, the irreverent Ben Heisler. But we have that game on Thursday night. Then these two teams play each other on Monday Night Football. I believe the game's in Buffalo, the first matchup, I think. The Bills also have to play Carolina, which is a game they should win. But, I mean, hell, the Bills have lost games all year long that they should win. Carolina's going to be fighting for a spot. You look at that, you know, they've got to play Tampa on the road. So it's tough. Now New England does have Tennessee coming in this week. That's not an easy game. Another game we'll get to in a little bit. I'll get my thoughts on. I think Buffalo does it. I do. But you're getting to a point where, like, they've got to play better. Like, there's no room for error now. Like, if they don't get it done, it's bad news.
Gonzo's giving you credit for back-to-back live streams, Verderange. You get a raise from the Minute Media crew if you talk to us off today?
I'm lucky if I get a high five, but it is what it is.
So breaking news over there. Ding's coming in. Anything good?
It's actually someone in the NFL. So I'm just trying to break.
I know you only you filtered it through your phone that it only dings during the show that if it's NFL news. That's why I'm asking you. You wouldn't even allow a text coming through from your wife and or daughter in this. I don't think
if my daughter sends me a text, we got big problems. She's 4 and doesn't have a phone.
Look. I just want to be on record here. I'll put my fan hat on. I really don't want to see the New England Patriots win that division. I am actively hoping in my mind that somehow this thing turns around. But it's a great story. The Patriots have come back from the dead. They're winning up front. They're not asking Mac Jones to do anything that he's incapable of doing. And the Bills are sideways right now. So if you actually had me bet right now who's winning that division, I'm going to take New England. I will ride.
It's fair.
I don't know. Once you figured it out, there's in New England, I feel like that train is just not stopping. That they're obviously not going to be winning out here, but I think they split the games with Buffalo, and I think they somehow eke out the division. If I had to wager, that's what I would do. How far do you have the Titans going in the playoffs?
I got them winning. I got them getting to the divisional round, whether that's by bye or by winning a playoff game. I think they're a good team. I also think, especially if Derrick Henry's not there, they're fatally flawed. Like, that offense is just not good. Defensively, they're better than people think. They're not good offensively. I just said Tannehill's got 13 touchdowns and 12 picks. Julio Jones is a great player. He's hurt all the time. Derrick Henry's out right now. Their offensive line stinks. Like,
but
it's hard to really look at them and go, yeah, I think they'd beat Baltimore in a playoff game. I think they'd beat Buffalo in a playoff game. I think they'd beat Kansas City in a playoff game, even New England. I don't think I'd pick them to beat the Chargers. Although my God, if Henry's there and they play the Chargers, they might rush for 500 yards. Divisionals are now.
I mean, we're asking a lot here. Come back and beat Derrick Henry, but there's a very good chance that he will be back for the playoffs.
Could be.
And I shouldn't say a very good chance. There's a chance. Let's put it at 50-50 that you get Henry back and you get all the learns that you and the confidence of playing without him for this time period. Throw in the defense, wide open AFC. I'll put him in the conference championship game, Verderam. I'll ride the Titans one step further than you're willing to go. Let's bring in our guy, though. Let's make some picks here. Let's bring in Ben Heisler, the managing editor of BetSided, always ready to rock and roll and stack in the box. He joins us at 12:30 Eastern, 11:30 Central. Be here each week. We've got 6 games for you on the docket. Ben, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, gentlemen? Everybody good?
Everyone is great. Hey, Ben. Let's just get your thoughts real quick. Do you believe the reports out of Chicago that Matt Nagy is going to coach his final game on Thursday?
It feels like there's been enough momentum picking up. There's been multiple reports. You had the one from Jordan Schultz yesterday. He's got a clear connection to Allen Robinson. They do a podcast together that sort of got the conversation going. And then you have the one from the former Sun-Times reporter whose name escapes. I think it's Mark Coral or Mark Corkle, maybe. We had the report today about it. It just feels like things are starting to pick up. You know that this is an indication of another nationally televised game where they could be embarrassed. And they've been embarrassed, frankly, throughout the course of the season. So I do think there's some smoke to that fire, yes.
Mark Conkle, he's a Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yeah, shame on me. Shame on me for not knowing the name of Mark Conkle.
There is no shame. Mark Conkle is not offended, and neither is anyone else in the Conkle family, because Mark Conkle was not supposed to be the guy breaking the Bears news. For all the Adam Hoges out there, my guy, and Mark Rohde's, and everyone on this, all the football covering, Brad Biggs, all of them, Conkle with the goods. But all right, let's make some money. Hopefully, go to WynnBET for all your betting needs. WynnBET.com. We're gonna start out with the Raiders, who absolutely killed me this week. I don't know why I had them against the Bengals, but I did. And Dallas. Dallas is at home. They're favored by 7. The number is 51.
Yeah, and we've actually seen right here live on Stacking the Box some line movement in favor of the Cowboys. I wrote about this earlier this week over at BetSided, guys, that it was almost inevitable that as team of the type of public team that the Cowboys are, this number wasn't going to stay at 7. I didn't think it was going to go jump from 7 to 8, considering that Amari Cooper is out, that CeeDee Lamb likely out in concussion protocol. But I don't think it really matters, because we've seen this Raiders team get pounded the last 3 weeks. They've been outscored nearly 2-1 since their bye week, got blown out on the road against the Giants, back-to-back losses of 21-plus points at home. Between the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago, and then last week against the Bengals. This is a team that's completely going in the wrong direction. And whether or not you think the Cowboys in their loss against Kansas City showed anything as to whether or not you have to be concerned about their offense, to me, I thought it said more about what we saw from their opponent in back-to-back losses than what we saw from the Cowboys. I think they were trying to fix a lot of the pieces that were brought down. The Chiefs have been much better on the defensive side of the ball over the last month. And so I've been advising people, get on this Cowboys number at -7, because it's going to climb. Now that it's at 8, it's probably a stay away for me, and I prefer the under right now of 51. But this is a game that I just feel like the Cowboys, even without their top two wide receivers, they're going to run all over the Raiders, who's bottom 5 in rush defense this year.
Yeah, look, I would still take Dallas, and I would take the under as well. I agree with you on the under. I think it's like 30-20, 30-17. I think the Raiders are just cooked. Like, sometimes we don't look at the emotion of the game, too. Like, the Raiders have gone through a lot of stuff this year. Obviously, with Gruden and Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnett, you know, ranging from the ridiculous to the tragic. I just think they're done. I just – that Bengals game, to me, that was kind of like the old last stand, the old last chance saloon type game. And they didn't even just – they got killed. That game, to me, speaks to, yeah, it's probably over. Like, I don't think they're coming out of this. Dallas, I think, bounces back. Look, the one thing the Chiefs did in that game defensively, the Chiefs got a ton of pressure, and they played a lot of man. The Raiders don't play man. They play all these cover 3 zones, and I think Dallas is just going to rip it apart. You know, the Broncos played a lot of man, and when they beat them, the Chiefs do it. The Raiders play no man. They play a ton of zone underneath. And I have a feeling this game is going to be one of these games where Dak just sits back there and it's just bing, 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 bing. I like them big.
Our guy Patrick Allen for the Raiders. This game is the equivalent of taking old Yeller behind the shed to put him out of his misery. It's over. That sounds like a Chiefs fan to me. Call me crazy. Check out the Arrowhead Addict podcast.
It's almost like the way they do this. I can't speak. The way they have done this to their fans each of the last now 3 seasons, forget behind the shed. It's like they're doing it out in the street. I mean, it's just – I wrote about it in the column. Like, this is a 3rd year in a row now where you've looked at the Raiders and gone, hey, good start, and then just straight off a cliff. It's incredible.
I was truly loving the John Gruden gets fired and the Raiders are better. That was fun, and that did not last. And now I'm losing in football pools because I'm picking the Raiders against the Bengals. All right, which, by the way, Cincinnati, let's move on to game 2. Cincy is home. They're taking on the battling Steelers. It's a 3.5-point favorite on Cincinnati side here with a number of 45.5.
Yeah, another line move like in the middle of the show. I think clearly the Sharps were like, all right, we're going to go ahead and make some moves during Stack in the Box and just throw everything out the window. Line now is at Bengals -4.5. So you're getting already with the hook and then adding on another point in this game. Pittsburgh, for as much as we've crapped on Ben Roethlisberger throughout the course of the year, and he has deserved a whole heck of a lot of it, last 5 games, he's actually been all right. Stat come out from Steelers Depot says he's 115 of 173 for 1,226 yards, 9 touchdowns, no picks in his last 5 games. Now, is he throwing the ball downfield? Not particularly, but he really wasn't doing that at the beginning of the year anyway. But he has made adjustments, and clearly the offense has some sort of functionality if it's him out there compared to somebody like Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins or everybody else that you want to put out there. I kind of look at the Steelers after that loss that they are still going to find a way to hang around. And I think having TJ Watt, whether or not he'll be in here, and Verderham, I don't know if you know if he's going to play or not, but that makes a substantial difference for them on the defensive side of the ball. And I think they can slow down Cincinnati. I'd probably take Pittsburgh and go against the movement here if I can get them at either +4.5 or +5. Bengals offense looked like they were back. But again, they were doing it against a Raiders team that's looked atrocious their last 3 games. Feels like a slight overreaction on the Bengals side. I feel like even with the loss for Pittsburgh against the Chargers on Sunday night, feels like an opportunistic time to get on them with the right number.
Yeah, +4.5 is a little rich for me, so I would take Pittsburgh to cover. I think it's a 3-point game somewhere in there. I like the Bengals to win, though. I think the Bengals are just better. I think they're a better team. Like, the Bengals' offense, interestingly, though, against the Raiders, Burrow did nothing, but they ran the ball like crazy because, as you mentioned, Ben, the Raiders can't stop anybody on the ground. Right. And I think that's the interesting part of this game to me. If Watt plays, can they do enough? Like, Burrow will throw picks. That is one thing this year. He has thrown a lot of interceptions. Can they force him into a mistake or two? I do not think it's a foregone conclusion the Bengals win, but I like them in this spot. They're at home. Now, the other thing is, even though they're at home, they're going to be a lot of Steeler fans at that game. It is not a big travel ask for Pittsburgh fans. And, look, that stadium has not always been the fullest over the last handful of years. Can't blame Bengals fans for that. But I think the Bengals win. But at that number, I would take the Steelers to cover.
All right. Game 3 is an interesting one. You got New England, who's actually on a full week's rest because they played last Thursday night. You got Tennessee on a short week. I think that's BS, by the way. That's not how it should line up for the NFL. It's one thing like Sundays, Mondays.
They're not a short week. They're on a normal week.
What's that?
They're on a normal week. What are you talking about?
New England is – am I wrong here? Okay, my bad.
New England does have extra rest, but Tennessee
– New England has extra rest. I'm sorry. I was Thursday in this game. I don't know why I just did that. But, okay, New England played last Thursday. Thank you very much. And Tennessee's coming off a Sunday game. But regardless, the Patriots are coming off a win and the Titans are coming off a loss to the damn Houston Texans. So, Ben, which way are we going on here? The number is 6 points in New England's favor with a 45.
It's a pretty remarkable line, considering that if you really look at both of these two teams, especially against Houston, not that much of a difference. The difference is the Patriots hung on and won, but they did it with Davis Mills at quarterback. When Tyrod Taylor's playing for Houston, it's a much better team. It's not a good team, but it's not bottom of the barrel of the lowest possible tier in the NFL. So, you're looking at it and saying, well, both these teams struggled against Houston this year. Granted, the Titans lost at home, but they were due to regress considering all of the big wins that they had against teams like Buffalo and Kansas City. Yeah, they've played really, really well, probably above their skis, especially since Derrick Henry went down. They were due to regress. And our own Ian McMillan over at BetSide had wrote a whole column talking about how the Titans are a fraudulent team at the top of the AFC. But this line is very much inflated. This is too high of a line, even with the Patriots winning 5 games in a row, sitting on top of the AFC East standings. The Titans can still hang around and contend. I don't think one loss is indicative of just how bad this team is or how good this team is. It was a bad home loss that was likely due for them, considering all the opportunities for regression. So 6 points, even on the road, Patriots still have a rookie quarterback. Titans have been pretty good in their pass rush this year. That's been an issue for them throughout the course of the last few years. I think they might actually cause some problems for Mac Jones. I don't think this is as much of a cakewalk for New England as everybody seems to think so. So I like Tennessee plus the points here.
You know, this is a weird dichotomy for me because I think New England's becoming insanely overvalued. Like, people are talking about New England like it's like the 04 Pats with Brady, and it's just not the case. However, I think they match up really well with Tennessee for this reason. What does Tennessee do well offensively? Currently, nothing. Belichick is going to take A.J. Brown out of this game. He is going to force them to throw to Anthony Firkser all night long. They're not going to allow him to run. They're going to get pressure. on Tannehill, I think it's a hard game for the Titans because they just do not have a strength they can go to. Now, I do think defensively they will hang in the game. But I think New England will win and cover, even though I think this line's too high to the eye. Like, you'll look at it and go, wow, six. That was my first reaction. Then I thought about it. I'm like, well, I think New England's going to win. I don't think it's much more than that. I think it's somewhere like 24-17. I might just bet the under on the game.
So you're kind of leading in the direction of the under here, which I really don't mind as well.
I think if I were to bet it, I would bet the under. Because I think the line is about where it should be. But I like New England to win. I think Tennessee, healthy, is the better team, but they're not healthy. And so I think New England will find a way to win this game.
You know what you could do is that you could do a two-way teaser on this game. If you're going to win bet and you're seeing the odds and you say, all right, the Titans plus six. Yeah, maybe the Patriots 12. Hang around and not. You can, if you like the Patriots side, you can tease them all the way down to a pick'em. So New England just has to win straight up. True. And then you can tease the under from 45 to 51. So as long as the Patriots win and the total is under 51, that's another angle that you can play this game at.
All right, let's move to the line that I find the most interesting this week. Indianapolis just smoked Buffalo. They're at home. Now, the Bucs are the Bucs and whatever they won on Monday night. But Indy's an underdog at home here, which is interesting to me. 2.5-point favorite, the Bucs are. 51.5 is the number. I love the Colts here. Am I nuts here? Am I getting too indie happy?
I don't think so. I think it's a really tough line to try and figure out. The other thing too is that Tom Brady has actually been really good at busting a lot of the trends that have gone against him. Last night he finally got his first win against the spread in prime time. He had been 0-7 in his time in Tampa Bay. Wow. In prime time against the number. Finally got it there. So now all of a sudden he gets that off his back. You're probably going to see a little bit more movement towards the Tampa Bay side. I think the big issue for the Colts is your number one option is Jonathan Taylor, which I don't know if you guys have had this conversation on the show yet as to whether or not he's an MVP consideration, which I think is ludicrous. He's had a great year. He's the number one running back in the NFL right now with no Derrick Henry, but he's not an MVP candidate.
I agree.
They need to find a way to use him besides just in the run game. If you incorporate him in the pass game, then yeah, I think you have a chance. But Tampa Bay is so good at stopping the run, and that's really what opens up the Colts offense. Like, they use a lot of play action through Jonathan Taylor. He ran the ball more than 30 times this week. So if Tampa Bay is going to take away that initial ability, especially if they're able to get the pass rush, I actually think the line is reasonable. Colts have been playing better, and they're getting themselves back into the division race. But I actually kind of like the line on Tampa Bay. I like them at 2.5. If it's after 3 or 3.5, I'll probably go the other way or just stay away completely. But I don't mind the Buccaneers as favorites here at 2.5. I mean, it's the right number.
I'm taking the Bucs. I think they win by a touchdown or so. Look, you hit the nail on the head, Ben. Indy's not going to run the ball against them. That's the problem. And if you can't run the ball, so Taylor went out of his mind in Buffalo. Wentz was 11 of 20. For like 106 yards. The way to beat Tampa is to spread them out and just throw it. They cannot cover. Like, that's why the Giants stunk last night and lost, because they have no ability to do that. Like, you spread them out and you throw the ball. You don't let their pass rush get to you. You don't even waste time running it. Like, that's how you win. Indy cannot do that. That is not the way they play. It's why I think I've seen so many takes today and yesterday. Well, Indianapolis in the AFC playoffs, it's like, yeah, until they play somebody who can limit them at all on the ground, and then the game's just over. Because, by the way, they're also atrocious against the pass, which, you know, with Brady, he's just going to drop back and throw and throw and throw and throw. And I like it. I think they're going to make the playoffs. But I do not think they win this game.
Another, I would call this super interesting game, is Green Bay is a 1-point favorite at home. Coming off a loss to Minnesota, who, by the way, I think is the most underrated team in the NFL. The Vikings have not lost one bad game all season long. They've been in literally every game. And the Rams are coming off a bye. So the belief in the Rams, despite their dysfunction, is still strong. On the road here, only a 1-point underdog. 48.5 is the number here, Ben.
Yeah, it's a good number, and a number that I feel like I have to probably run away from, because I'm tempted, very tempted in this game to go with the Packers, but I almost feel like it's a bit of a trap. Like, they're so good at home. They're 9-1 against the spread in their last 10 games. They're 7-0 in their last 7 games against the Rams. But I feel like we might start to see a little bit more defense start to show up. You've seen Matthew Stafford the last handful of weeks not be able to get the ball downfield. I know that he's got more weapons now with Odell Beckham, but now they lost Robert Woods. Packers been a very good defensive team other than what we saw last week against the Vikings when Minnesota was really able to open things up. Justin Jefferson had a monster game against them. I think I'm going to lean because I see this total going up. I think 48.5 is not going to last over at WinBet. I could see this getting closer to 50. And the more that it continues to climb, the more I feel confident in taking the under in this game, because I think you're going to see two really solid defensive battles. Rodgers has had some issues with pressure all season long. He's still brilliant, but nobody has a better pass rush than the Rams when everybody is healthy. And now Von Miller has some time to get things going. So even though I think the public will expect a lot of points because there's big names at quarterback, I kind of like the under of 48.5 here.
Heisler still believes in Von Miller. Like it.
I like the under. I love the Rams in this game. And I think the Packers are the best team in the NFC when they're healthy. They are far from healthy right now. Za'Darius Smith is not there. Jair Alexander is not there defensively. Offensively, Aaron Jones might not be there. David Bakhtiari, their left tackle, who's still coming back from torn ACL, remains to be seen if he's there. Elgton Jenkins, who's a really, really good guard, he's out. They have all kinds of injury issues up front. It is not a good week to have injury issues up front. Like, if there's ever a team you do not want to be missing a bunch of offensive linemen, it is in this game. And to make matters worse, Rodgers has a toe injury. Like, I think the Rams, off a bye, I think the Rams are going to win this game going away.
Really quickly, both head coaches of these teams have been awesome coming off a bye. Matt LaFleur has never lost. Or I'm sorry, coming off a loss. Matt LaFleur 8-0 after a loss since taking over in Green Bay. Sean McVay 16-8 after a loss, and he's also 4-1 coming off a bye week. So you kind of have two trends butting heads at each other for both of these two teams. So I think your point on the Rams makes a lot of sense. Another team you can consider teasing, especially if that line goes up to like +1.5. If you can get the Rams +7.5 with that hook, that feels like an absolute steal of a line to me.
Matt Nagy, by the way, just on a side note here, is supposed to meet the media literally right now, 4 minutes ago. He's late, and a bunch of Chicago media outlets are carrying the press conference live. I wonder if we'll get any transparency from the Bears also, today.
Also, it's the Bears. They don't typically tend to do that.
A fun side note. Two things, actually, because we mentioned it. So the Steelers, according to Pro Football Talk, believe TJ Watt, Joe Hayden, and Minkah Fitzpatrick will all be back at practice this week. So that's obviously huge for them. Number two, if you have a son, you might want to play baseball, because Wander Franco, who is a rookie for the Tampa Bay Rays, just signed a 12-year, $223 million deal, and he's played about 100 games in Major League Baseball. So, hey, get the kids out there. Get them out there. Swing a bat, throw a ball. It's a hell of a lot more lucrative than playing football or hockey or even basketball, unless he's the top 5 player in the league.
Won't turn 21 till next March. School is overrated. Get out there. And Ben, you've got two kids, balls in hands. Don't worry about the books. Just have it mimic the room that you got there. I don't see a book. There's nothing to read in there. Let's go.
Mike
has already thrown a baseball left-handed, so we're good to go on that end. The other one's 8.5 months, still undecided as to which hand he's going to throw with. But we got the oldest one, at least – ready to go in the loogie roll down the road.
By the way, you two would be an amazing one-on-one battle. Foot speed would be out the window, and Heiss has got a solid little over-the-head little jump shot, and Vertaram, you do things too. So I want to see it.
First of all, just basketball, forget it. Okay, I mean, oh my God. If it's hockey, I feel okay. Baseball, I don't know I don't know Ben's background in baseball, but I mean, I can swing a bat and catch a ball. So like we're but
if it was
basketball, please. Let's not
even. Vertaram, you're talking to a 3-time JCC Thursday night softball beer league champion. So you're ever in town, aware. You're more than welcome to fill in.
Wasn't aware.
Let's wrap up, and we can do a whole pod on bad athletic talent, which I think would be amazing. Cleveland and Baltimore team, The Ravens, of course, coming off a miraculous win over the Bears where Lamar Jackson didn't play. That was amazing. And the Browns snuck by the Lions. 4.5 points. The Ravens are favored. The number is 47. Yes, sir.
Ravens continue to find ways to just hang on for dear life. And I think things are finally going to start to turn their way. I think they're going to put the Browns out of their misery this week. They're allowing a ton of yards per play. Ian McMillan wrote that up over at Betside. Only the Jets allow more yards per play than the Ravens. It really doesn't matter because Baker Mayfield is nowhere near healthy. They're going to blitz the hell out of him. There's really no wide receivers at this point that can make Baltimore pay. There's not a Darnell Mooney that's going to streak down the sidelines or Marquise Goodwin. Cleveland doesn't have speed. Maybe Donovan Peoples-Jones gets free, but they're going to blitz Baker Mayfield. They're not going to pick it up because their offensive line has been struggling. Nick Chubb can only do so much on his own. This feels like the opportunistic time to go ahead and get back on board with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson should be healthy. Same with Marquise Brown. I kind of feel like it's over for the Browns, and this is the time where the Ravens finally just beat the doors off of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is like the casket closing here on Cleveland. Cleveland's just got so many issues right now, led by the fact that quarterback A is not good and B, he's hurt. So those two factors combined, not pleasant. The Ravens also have beaten up on the Browns year after year after year. They swept them last year. I believe the year prior they swept. Like they just own them.
That was also a hell of a game. Was that the Monday night game where both teams were in like the 40s or 50s?
Yes. It was like 47-42 or something.
That was fun. I think it was one of the worst bad beats of the year, too, if I remember correctly.
There was a score on like the last play of the game. Like
that's
a
right,
safety
yeah.
or something. Yeah. I think the Ravens are going to win handily, like by 20 points handily. Like I do not think the Browns stay in the game because of what Ben said. Mayfield's hurt. The Ravens are just going to come after him relentlessly, and they're going to try to force one or two mistakes. And the Browns defense, for all the shine they got early, all the remade, they're not good. Like they're a very pedestrian defense. They're not terrible, but they're just very average. I will say this. I do not think the Ravens are anywhere near as good as that 7-3 record indicates. They give up a ton of passing yards. Their offense is really hitting this. But the Browns are just shot right now, man. I like Baltimore to win big.
How much money is Baker costing himself by trying to play through a torn labrum?
A lot.
Like, I'm hurt, I'm sitting, period, done. I respect it on some level. Football players play through lots of stuff, but he ain't doing himself any favors right now. He's not doing the team any favors either, for the record. So, any rate, hey, Ben, good stuff, brother. Let's happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And, enjoy the Bears and the Lions and maybe history up at Ford Field.
Happy early Thanksgiving to you guys as well. That's going to be a doozy to kick things off. That is one way to get your turkey day started. But good to see you both.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving. And in all seriousness, that game, my God, if somebody's choking at the table, they might have done it intentionally. I mean, they might be trying to get out of it. You know, like, oh, Uncle Ned's choking. No, he wants this. Leave him in the corner. Yeah, that'd be where we are.
Bust out the bourbon early. It's a great way to start your day. All right, Ben, we'll see you next week.
All right, guys.
Ben Heisler, managing editor, BetSided, and go to WinBet, WynnBet.com for all your needs, betting needs. All right, Verderam, do we have anything we need to tackle here on the way out? Actually, one more. Do the Seahawks, end of the year, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, you betting on their future, my brother?
I think they're gone. I think that because not this knee-jerk, like, oh, they're 3-7. No. Carroll's the second oldest head coach in the NFL. He's 70. He's a few months older or younger rather than Bill Belichick. Where are they going with Pete Carroll? Like, is Pete Carroll going to coach till he's 75 years old? I mean, is that going to happen? Like, I kind of feel like that seems like a bad plan. I would not trade Russell Wilson based off anything that's gone on this year, the injury, the poor play coming back off of it. Here's why I would trade him. They don't have a first-round pick this year because they traded to the Jets for Jamal Adams. Okay, they have all kinds of issues with the way they've drafted in recent years. They desperately need to find some kind of future assets. They don't have any. Like, Metcalf's a great young player. And who else? You know, I mean, at some point here, like, if you can get 3 firsts, 2 seconds, like, I get it. You got to find the quarterback. But, like, that quarterback's worthless to him if the roster is just brutal around him. So I honestly do. And I think he's going to want out of there. I do.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul, though, is just – it's tough business. Never recommended. And doing it with a potential Hall of Fame quarterback is not how I would go about it. So I would bet on Carroll – finding somewhere else to do in the Seahawks, looking for a Hail Mary to wrestle to rescue what's left of the Russell Wilson career, which could be a lot. You know, that's what I would bet on. But 70 is the new 50. Maybe they both come back and just run it back one more time for, you know, miraculous. We can still do this sake. All right. One more topic. And then I can't wait to do what's going on today, Verderim. I'm very excited. But are the Arizona Cardinals the best team? Are you saying the best team in the NFC or the best team in football?
Football.
All right. You know, are they the league's best team? Your Arizona Cardinals. You want to go there?
I mean, right now they are. Yeah. Like right now, they are. Now that's a different question than do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl, because you get in the playoffs and things change a little bit. But right now, what do they not do well? They just won 2 out of 3 with Colt McCoy. I mean, at some point, you got to give them credit, right? Like, I feel like everybody craps on Arizona because, oh, it's the Cardinals. And, you know, you kind of push them off to the side. Don't have a huge fan base, not a big market, not a big history. If that was the Dallas Cowboys, would anyone doubt them? If that was the Pittsburgh Steelers, would anybody doubt them? I mean, they're kicking ass. And they've got a lot of good wins, man. It's not like they're beating a bunch of powder puffs. Like, and then you go up into Seattle. I get Seattle's a mess right now. But like, you went up there and McCoy's completing 80% of his throws. You win the game going away. I mean, at some point, you got to be fair to them. Like, through 11 weeks, they've absolutely been the best team in the NFL.
They've had 2 impressive wins on the year, I would say.
They kicked the crap out of the Rams.
The Rams is number one.
The Titans.
They smoked the Titans week 1. I'll give them credit for both of those. They're 2-2 in their last 4. I mean, tough game with the Packers, but they got smoked
by the Browns by 30 on the road.
Yeah, okay, but like it looked good then, but like Cleveland just—I mean, Cleveland's a mess.
What about beating the Niners on the road? Colt McCoy just killing them.
No, okay, and it's San Francisco's been. Look,
what about beating Minnesota? You just said they're the most underrated team in the NFL.
They beat him by 1, eke through. I'm playing the devil's advocate here. I think it's a fair argument, but like, you know, at this moment, sure, fine, okay, but I'm not betting on the Cardinals to come out of the NFC. I would.
That's totally fair.
Yeah. So that's
because I don't. Yeah. They have no experience, and I trust some of the other guys more. But I mean, like, they've been great to this point.
Well, and Kyler's got to come back, and I think he will, but I'd like to see that before I would stamp it. But, Verderam, let's do it as we wait for Matt Nagy to speak here. What's going on? I've got something special for you today, but why don't you lead it off?
All right, so normally I'd go Knicks, but the Knicks are pissing me off to no end with their nonstop bullshit, where I've got to – the loss of the Bulls is fine, whatever. Listen, they split in Chicago, no issue there. They almost lost to the Rockets, which I got to tell you, if they had lost that game to the Rockets at the Garden, that had been it. I think fans actually would have gone on the court and attacked them. Their starting five is so bad, it's impossible. That said, this is my favorite time of the year. That's my takeaway for the week here. Like, I love, love, love this time of the year. This is, you know, the football playoffs are great, and they're awesome, but coming down this stretch of the regular season, I love the playoff picture and how it shifts and things move, and it's crazy. You know, there's always like 1 or 2 Sundays in December where you get some upsets and things are just flying around. I love that. I also love the holiday season, right? Like Thanksgiving to me, Thanksgiving's whatever, but you kick off, you know, for me, the Christmas season, the holiday season. I get to put up the tree and the Christmas lights. I'll be out there first thing Friday. my wife has been holding me back saying I can't get a big inflatable for the yard. Well, I'm here to tell you, I played the smart move. I leaked it to Maisie that I wanted to get one. Now Maisie's completely on board. It's a two-on-one assault against my wife. And I think between the two against one and the fact she's pregnant and tired, she's like, I don't care. Fine. Whatever. So you better damn well believe Snoopy is about to be out in the yard as about 12 feet tall. I am excited for Christmas. I'm excited to go home. I'll see my family and my friends back in New York. Go home for a week right around Christmas. So that's good. Looking forward to that. I'm getting my booster today. So I'm excited about that. This will actually be fun. So look, forget the politics and all that bullshit. I'm getting my booster. Okay. And I'm getting my flu shot at the same time. Mostly because they're like, do you want your flu shot too? And I'm like, yeah, what the hell? Throw it on there. So I work out with my trainer 8 a.m. on Wednesday. I'm getting my booster at 5:30 with the flu shot tonight. I am going to be in a coma doing that workout. But the hell?
Yes, you are.
We're going for broke carb. We're going for it. Now I'm going to sleep for about 12 hours. What do you got?
So, well, two things. Number one, Nagy's at the podium. He's literally just talked, or at least started his talk, and on the report that Thursday's his last game, quote, that is not accurate. So Matt Nagy does not believe that he will be fired this Thursday against the Detroit Lions, no matter the outcome. Has he been informed of his firing? That is not accurate. Or at least that he has not been informed. So that's part
a lot
of it.
Different than saying, yeah. Adam Hogue says, quote, that is not accurate. No, I have not.
Okay.
So, okay, well.
What a day. Hey, Matt, have you heard that you've been fired? Nah, haven't heard that one. Now, he's such a gentleman of a guy and would follow what the Bears say that they may have told him, and he might be lying. I mean, he lies all the time. And now he's saying that his focus is on Detroit. All right. The Bears are going to go get those Lions. But, Verderam, I am in New York City for my cousin's wedding. And my brother is with me, and he did God's work today, and he has acquired the lox and bagel from, I believe, Liberty Bagel. They make their own cream cheese.
Oh, it's beautiful.
He did my.
Amount of cream cheese on that thing.
Yeah, I love my brother. I told him no capers. That capers is a thing that doesn't need to be on this, but that's okay. But I got the lox. I got the onion.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Look, that is the one thing in the Midwest. Freaking lack while you eat here. I'll let you eat. The lack of a good deli in the Midwest drives me nuts. I mean, Steingold's in Chicago. Shout out to Steingold's. Great deli. Okay. Up here in Rockford, which I know you say is the worst city in the world, I actually enjoy living here, although I enjoy the slander as well. I told Stephanie, when I retire, I'm opening up an Italian deli here. It drives me nuts. You got a million Italians running around. The damn city's Italian. And yet there's no place. Like, and the other thing about the Midwest. So help me God, okay? For the love of all that is holy, pizza by the slice is your friend, okay? Everywhere I go, I have asked four different pizzerias, called them up. You guys sell by the slice? No. Like, why? Why can't I just go in and get a damn slice? Anywhere you go in New York, they give you a slice. And in Chicago, it's like a $30 commitment to get a fucking pizza. I just want a slice of pizza. And especially if it's deep dish, good God, it's like getting a piece of lasagna, which I don't mind. I love lasagna, but I don't need a whole damn tray of it. It drives me insane. And don't be afraid to experiment with the toppings on the pizza. None of that pineapple shit either, okay? You put fruit on my pizza, we're getting into a fist fight. Like, throw some taco pizza at me. Throw a little white pizza at me. Throw a little barbecue chicken, little chicken bacon ranch. Like, let's not be afraid to step out of the comfort zone. But no, if you call up, you're like, hey, can I get a sliced pizza? No. Can I get a pizza with anything other than pepperoni or sausage? No, we don't do that. It's a disgrace. I'm furious. The Midwest has to learn something from the damn right side of the country, the East Coast, which I've left, I've abandoned, and they're probably, it's God being furious at me. It's why I can't get a slice of pizza. I cannot wait to go back to New York, where I will get a slice every single day. Slice and cannoli from Raimondo's in Roscoe, New York, where my uncle owns, best pizza place in the world is where I'm headed back to.
All right, a couple things here. Number one, you're right on the slice, obviously, in New York. However, your Midwest talents of the, there are slices out there. Go to Art of Pizza. You can get a thin slice. You get a thick slice. Go to Chicago Pizza. You can get the, they're selling slices all day long. We need more creativity out of you, so don't completely blame Chicago for lack of slices because they are out there.
Chicago.
You have not done a good enough job going after what you want in your slice life. And
it shouldn't be hard. Every single damn place should be doing pizza by the slice.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you. Giordano should be just having flying them out the window, which they do on the one downtown in Rush, but they don't do it enough. You're right. I'm with you on that. It should be more accessible. And go to Kaufman's Deli next time you come in. Right off of Dempster when you're running.
Oh, I love Kaufman's.
They're out there. Once Upon a Bagel does a good job, which is closer to you. But you're stuck in Rockford, man. You ain't getting no Italian deli. You ain't getting no Jewish deli. You're getting McDonald's. That's what you're getting.
That is an affront. Now there's some good stuff. Jason's Deli does a nice job, one of many. But that being said, I'll tell you what, Hachi Sushi, man, I clean house at that place. But that's neither here nor there. Good sushi. But it's and Kaufman's in Skokie there, around the edge. No, that place is great, man. I go to Skokie to go to this one sports memorabilia shop all the time at AU Sports. Shout out to them. They do amazing, amazing work there. You get any baseball card you could ever dream of. But Kaufman's is like a minute down the street. And not only do they have great sandwiches and sides, which they do, they also have the dessert side of things. Oh, beautiful. Black and white cookies, the whole nine. It's wonderful. I love that place. Expensive as hell, but good food.
Yeah. All right. One last quote from Nagy as we say goodbye here. As we were talking about his son getting the Nagy fire chance at his son's football game, which, by the way, Nagy was at. When I'm in the role I'm in, quote, you have to be able to understand where people are coming from and how they react or how they don't react. I was there to watch my son play a football game. I was there to be a dad.
Right. It's out of bounds.
It is. I'm not exactly sure what he's saying. I'm not fully understanding what he's saying, but it can't be easy. And by the way, Andy Dalton is starting on Thursday. Justin Fields is hurt with the bruised ribs, and hopefully nothing wrong with his spleen, but that was also looked at as well. All right, Verderam. Andy Dalton on Thanksgiving against the Lions. Let's go.
Can't wait. I'm not even going to chew the turkey. I'm just going to swallow it whole and hope that God takes me.
And thank you for the pizza selections. Gonzo saying you should go to Pizza Boy. They have New York slices and Detroit too. Detroit, by the way, enough with your whole Detroit pizza slices and like St. Louis barbecue. No,
I don't want to hear one thing about St. Louis ever.
Yeah. Hey, on that note, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you so much for watching Stacking the Box. Comments and reviews are so much appreciated. We appreciate you. And Verderam, next week, we're talking about one of the reviews that we did not hit today on your guy who loves us. Who I think you know from back in the day, but he's found Stack in the Box. You're reconnecting through the pod, which is sweet.
I have no idea what we're talking about. I haven't looked yet, but I'll have to check it out.
You wrote at him on Twitter. You said you went back and forth with the dude. Yeah, you're a busy guy. I get it. We'll hit it next week. All right. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks for watching Stack in the Box.